Good morning, everyone. This is Barb Lemmel and Mitchell Hay from the United Community Church of Morrisville and the Essex Center United Methodist Church, welcoming you to our second joint worship projection on Sunday morning. It's good to have all of you with us. I also want to, ahead of time, thank Eve Thorson from the Essex Community Church, or the Essex Center Church. I can't get all these names straight. Who will be reading scripture today, and then another thanks to Jeremy LeClaire, who is our technician who knows all things digital. And thanks to Jeremy, we're able to live stream on both of our Facebook pages this morning. A couple of reminders as we get started. If you want to add a comment to either of the Facebook pages, Mitch and I will be able to see those. If you want to send in a prayer request, do it on those Facebook pages, and we'll take a moment to scroll through those before we do the pastoral prayer. If you're really feeling technologically savvy, you can share this live stream onto your personal Facebook page. And that way, anybody who is one of your friends can also stream in if you feel like sharing this with everybody you know. Are there any other details that we need to hear?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It is a gray day outside. It is a Vermont spring. It is wet and it is cold. And wherever we gather, whether you are in your jammies in bed or around a living room table like we are, we gather in the warmth of God's love and we gather to worship. If you were able to get a bulletin from the church newsletter or online, we invite you to join with us in the call to worship. Otherwise, come into a prayerful moment.
And for those of you in Morrisville, this newsletter would have come out to you by email last night, but you can also just listen in.
We gather to worship you, O God who brings life where death has touched.
Lord, raise us up
and breathe into us new life.
Blessed are you, O God, in whom nothing is wasted. You salvage the remnant, the scrap, the shred.
Lord, raise us up
and breathe into us new life.
You bless what is left from the consuming fire, the devouring flood, the shearing wind, the shifting earth.
Lord, raise us up
and breathe into us
new life. All that remains returns to you and is reborn from you. Blessed are you, O God, who brings life from the earth and will return it to the earth once again.
Lord, raise us up
and breathe into us new life. And we'll also share an opening prayer, an opening to God time. This too is responsive. Mitch and I will share with the responses with each other. And there will be a time for silence in the middle. And during that silent time, we invite you just simply to breathe. Pay attention to breathing in and breathing out for several cycles. And then we'll resume into the prayer.
Breath and breathing will be a major theme in our readings and in our reflection today. This opening to God time comes from Psalm 130. Out of the depths, we cry to you, Lord.
Hear our voice, hear our cry.
Listen.
Between each heartbeat.
Listen.
Between each breath.
Listen.
To things we don't say.
Can't say.
Things from which we run away. And let's be in silence for a few moments. If you counted every wrong, who could stand, Lord?
But you forgive.
So we wait on you.
Our souls wait.
In your word is hope.
We long for you.
More than the endless night looks for dawn.
More than hunger looks for food.
More than isolation looks for companionship.
More than overwork looks for rest.
We hope.
For God is our hope and our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Our Hebrew scripture this morning comes from the prophet Ezekiel, who is best known for giving us a couple of great spirituals, a wheel and a wheel way up in the middle of the air, and dem bones, and the scene we're reading this morning is chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, and it's the dem bones scene. A valley of dry bones. And Eve is going to share the word with us this morning.
Good morning. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord."
Thank you so very much. That was lovely. Let me tell you a sailing story. I grew up the son of a Navy officer and learned to sail when I was very young. And our family almost always had a sailboat growing up until I went off to college and then didn't sail for a very long time. And it was about 20 years later, right after Micah was born, when I got this almost primal instinct to acquire a little sailboat. We have a kid. We have to get a sailboat so I can teach them how to sail as I had been taught when I was young. The first sailboat that we got as a family, we named it Half Moon, and it was a beautiful little boat. It was lean, taut and svelte. It had no motor. Why would we need something like that? And when the sun shone and the wind blew and tugged on the sails, Half Moon flew. She danced on the waves, and the spray splashed about, and the whole universe was blue and silver and waves and clouds. It was magnificent. There was nothing better. But when the wind stopped, Half Moon was transformed into a dead 500-pound fiberglass prison in the middle of Lake Champlain. When the wind stopped, our flying freedom machine, our dancing dinghy, our magic carpet was turned into Alcatraz, a floating prison. And we would wait for the wind to come back. And wait. And wait. Now, we knew that the wind eventually comes back. It's the nature of wind, but it doesn't come back on our schedule. So while you wait for the wind to come back, you read Harry Potter to the kids, and you have lunch, and you play I Spy with My Little Eye. Still no wind. The term for no wind is becalmed. But calm is not how you feel when there is no wind. It's really anxious. And you read the second and third Harry Potter novels to the kids, and you eat the emergency snacks, and you start to wonder how many weeks one can be adrift on Lake Champlain without being discovered. You think about Robinson Crusoe, you think about Tom Hanks, you think about Gilligan. You start looking longingly at those spoiled motorboaters on the horizon. You wonder about a tow. And finally, you grab a paddle and start the incredibly long, slow grind back to the New York side of the lake, wondering which of the children you'll need to eat first for the rest of you to survive.
So that's a little extreme, but it's actually not far off the mark, or at least it's not far off the mark of how it felt some days. And you may know this already, but there's actually a part of the globe, a part of the planet that's called the doldrums. It's a strip that runs roughly equivalent to the equator, and it's called the doldrums because the winds there often will stop for days or weeks at a time. Or if there are storms, they're sudden and they're fierce, and then there's no wind again. It's called the doldrums because back when transportation on the planet was done by boat, trading vessels would get stuck there, and they would have to wait and wait and wait for the wind to get going. The definition of doldrums is to be listless, is to have low spirit and low energy. It's a time of inactivity and stagnation and even depression. The doldrums feels a lot like what enforced social distancing can make us feel like after a while.
Pastoring during the doldrums is starting to feel, well, like the doldrums. So much about what I love about pastoring, about the vocation, what energizes me about my calling is being with the people I serve. I miss the small group classes. I miss how we learn and laugh and share stories. I miss hanging out at Eve's house with a glass of wine. I miss visiting with folks in their homes and at work. I miss sharing a coffee or a beer with a parishioner to talk about theology or about life or about worship planning. And worship, I miss worshiping with people. It's hard. I miss the people. I miss the music. I miss the singing. I miss the energy. I miss the prayers lifted up. I miss the fellowship. I miss the kids running around, the gurgling babies, the whole wonderful, beautiful, messy, noisy experience of all of it being offered up to God in praise and thanksgiving to this God of love who we experience in the Rabbi from Nazareth. I miss all of that so much. And so, yeah, pastoring in a pandemic is like being becalmed in a small sailboat. And calm is definitely not how any of us are feeling right now. We have all grabbed paddles and are grinding away, making it up as we go along, making do with Zoom meetings and live streaming and phone calls and visits through a screen door or across a porch. And we're wondering, when will the wind start blowing again?
And that's not just true of pastors. It's true of everyone in all of our different professions, whether you're still going to work because you're an essential employee, in quotes, right? Or whether you're working from home, or whether work isn't an option for you at all right now, whether you're in a house by yourself, or whether you're in a house with so many people, you're all falling over each other all the time. We're all in this becalmed place. I was speaking with a colleague of mine yesterday who's done a lot of work with training volunteers for crisis situations. And she said, you know, I always tell volunteers, you can run on adrenaline for about 2 weeks. And then at almost exactly the 2 week point, then you need a week off because you can't run on adrenaline any more than that. And as she spoke, I thought, it's been exactly 2 weeks since Governor Scott declared a state of emergency. That was 2 weeks ago Friday. This is our third Sunday of doing this kind of worship. So it's been just 2 weeks of that as well. And I said to my colleague, great, when do I get my week off? And she said, well, that's the thing. We don't get a week off. We need to keep going. And I think all of us are in that place right now. And so when I read the scripture, which is in the lectionary again for this Sunday, and it's Ezekiel looking out over the valley of dry bones. And the scripture says, I looked out over all this valley of bones, and lo, they were very dry. It makes me think of a number of conversations I've had with folks in just the last couple of days where basically everyone has said to me, you know, I was doing pretty well with this the first 10, 12 days, but in the last 48 hours, this has been really hard. And that's been my experience as well. I think we're feeling dry. Really dry. And in the Ezekiel reading, God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, you know, God, not me. Don't ask me. And I feel that way as well. And someone says to me, so how long are we going to have to do this? When can we reopen church? How long are we going to have to be in this state of suspended animation? Nobody knows. God knows, but God hasn't told any of us yet, as far as I know. And so we're just in that in-between place, looking out over the dry bones and wondering.
The scriptures that Eve read, the words of the prophet Ezekiel, are from a time of deepest crisis for the people of Israel. They had a lot longer than 2 weeks or 2 months or even 2 years. For a decade, they have been feeling completely and utterly bereft and becalmed. Quick historical lesson, forgive me. The year is around 575 BC. And a decade before, the military might of Babylon came through and defeated God's people, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and burned God's holy temple. And then took the weary and hungry survivors in chains as prisoners to Babylon to live and to die in exile. This was the time that gave us the Psalms of Lament, like Psalm 130 that we read today. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, and by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. To these hurting people, Ezekiel prophesies. to these hopeless people whose skin and flesh have been stripped away by war and famine and grief, whose bones feel bleached by tragedy and oppression and isolation, Ezekiel brings a promise of hope. Now, here's the thing about Hebrew prophets. They're not magicians. They are not fortune tellers. They are not divine prognosticators. They are simply people of vision. They don't read the future. They see the present. Or in the words of Simon and Garfunkel, they know how to read the writing on the subway wall. They see where the people are, and they see how God is working within and among the people. And they are usually sailing the opposite direction of the crowd. They are the holders of the minority report. When the kings and the rich are feeling powerful and cocky, the Hebrew prophet is crying out on behalf of the poor and the worker and the widow and the orphan and the alien who is being abused and ignored, who are not sharing in the accumulation of the riches and the land and the military might. When the powerful brag about being the greatest or the most powerful, the prophet is pointing a bony little finger and saying, "What does the Lord require but this? To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly." And then when the inevitable happens and the kings and the generals and the landowners and the mighty fall and take the people down with them, when the people are hopeless, it is the job of the Ezekiels and the Jeremiahs to once again sail against the crowd to bring assurance and hope. This vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, as wonderful and awful as it is a vision of God's promise that while we human critters on our own may be dead and ossified in our brokenness and sin and stuckness, we will be brought back to life again by God's renewing spirit, by God's freshening wind, by God's very breath of life.
So after God says to Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel says, "You know, God." God's next words are, "Prophesy, mortal. Prophesy to these dry bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Prophesy is one of those words that we mainline Christians kind of shy away from. Sometimes it has some negative connotations. But when I think about this story, I wonder, what is it that when God says, "Hear, prophesy and say, hear the word of the Lord," what is the word of the Lord that Ezekiel prophesies to those bones? That word of the Lord is, to me, the overarching message of what's in our scripture. And it's got five parts. It's convenient because there's one part for every finger. So here we go. This is the word of the Lord. One, God says, "I love you." That is the word of the Lord. I love you. The second thing God says is, "I made you. I know you inside and out." So Ezekiel prophesies, "I love you and I made you." These are the words from God. And the third thing God says is, "I have a purpose for you. I've put you on this planet for a reason. I've given you gifts. I have a dream for who you can be." The word of the Lord is from God. I love you. I made you. I have a purpose for you. And then the fourth piece is, "And I will go with you." You don't go alone. I go with you in living out that purpose in faith and in love. I love you. I made you. I have a purpose for you. I will go with you. And the fifth one is, did I mention I love you? So I love you. I made you. I have a purpose for you. I will go with you. And I love you. So I imagine Ezekiel prophesying that to those bones, saying, "Dry bones of the house of Israel, God loves you. God made you. God has a purpose for you. God will go with you into that purpose. And through it all, God loves you." And as Ezekiel prophesies that word of the Lord, suddenly there's a noise and there's movement. And the bones come together, and sinew and flesh and skin come upon them, and they are made again into a mighty host.
But a key detail here is that the bones with the sinews and the flesh and the skin are still dead. There's no life in them. Something is still missing. Quick Hebrew lesson. How come I get all the history and the Hebrew lessons?
I get
all
at
the
it.
Boring stuff. Quick Hebrew lesson. A Hebrew word, ruach, is this wonderful, ripe, and pregnant word. It denotes wind and breath and spirit. Like a lot of Hebrew words, it has to hold a lot of meaning. So here's the thing with the ruach. It's not until Ezekiel prophesies to the ruach, to the breath, to the four winds, to the spirit of life, that the valley of dry bones begins to quiver and move, and the people stand up alive.
And so I imagine Ezekiel saying to the ruach, to the wind, "Hey ruach, hey breath, hey spirit, God loves these people. God made these people. God has a purpose for these people and wants to go with them. God loves these people, oh breath." And that's when the breath comes into the people, or comes into the bodies, and they rise up, when he prophesies that same truth to the breath.
Another quick Hebrew lesson. In the translation that Eve read, God addresses Ezekiel over and over as mortal, or O mortal, or mortal one. The Hebrew is richer than just mortal. Mortal just means you're a person who's going to die. But the Hebrew that God calls Ezekiel is Ben Adam, son of the human one. And he gets called that 94 times in the book of Ezekiel. And it means more than he is mortal or finite or human. It's not just to remind Ezekiel of that. I think Ezekiel's pretty aware, seeing how the people are, that he's mortal. But rather is to connect Ezekiel to an older story, and one that you all know too. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, where God tenderly molds the red clay into the shape of a human? Red clay is Adama, and the human is Adam. And breathed into it, into its nostrils, the ruach. And it became, we're told, a nefesh, a living being. So when God says to Ezekiel, "O mortal, prophesy, O human one, prophesy," is to connect Ezekiel back to that ancient story where God breathed breath into the very first human. This is a new creation. This is filled with new possibility, as delicate and green as the Garden of Eden, where God did that first life-giving breath. Ezekiel is reminded that it's only when God's people are filled with ruach, with breath, with wind, with spirit, that they vibrate with life and with hope and with possibility.
And so as the breath animates Adam and Eve, as the breath animates that great host in the plain with Ezekiel, so too God's breath, God's spirit animates us. So I do a lot of work with clergy, with lay folk, with churches of all kinds of sizes. And one of the things I often say to them is, here's a test to find out whether or not God's through with you yet, whether or not God's done with God's work for you. And the test is this: are you breathing? Because if you're breathing, God isn't done with you yet. If you're breathing, God still has a purpose for you. Now, in this day and in this time, that purpose can feel pretty limited sometimes. We're not used to being able to connect to the people that we usually connect to. We can't get out to the grocery store, to social clubs, to all of the ways that we're used to showing people love and caring. And yet we're still breathing. And I believe that God still has a purpose and a place for us. If you're in a household where there are so many people breathing that you're not sure you can get a breath, rest assured that God has a purpose and a place for you even there. And I would counsel you, I live in a house something like that sometimes, I would counsel you to go for a walk or somehow get in a space where you can renew your connection to God and check in with God about what it is that God's asking for you to do these days. And if you're someone who is mostly in a home by yourself, if the ways you're used to reaching out to people are not the ways that you can reach out now, I would invite you to pray to God to show you what God's purpose is for you now. Because if you are drawing breath right now, God has a purpose for you. So call a friend. Check up on your neighbor shouting from one porch to the next. And if there's no other way that you can connect, then pray. Take time to pray for everyone you can think of. Pray for every member of your family that you know, and then the members of your friends' families that you know. And then pick up the church directory and work your way through that if you can. Pray for all of the folks that you can think of. That prayer too is doing God's purpose in the world. And even if we think we can't do anything else, that we can do. Go ahead.
We may be becalmed and anything but calm in the midst of this pandemic. We may be mourning that our church buildings are closed and dark, that we're not meeting for small groups or choir practice or classes or visits. Our Sunday schools are silent. Our fellowship halls and sanctuaries are silent. But we are still church. I'll say that one more time. We are still church. God's called people, God's called out people. This week, I sent out a short essay by a guy named John Pavlovich. And he wrote this week that we are being the church now as much as ever with embodied hymns and exhaled prayers and walking sermons that rise up in the brutal trenches of this life. When the compassionate love of Jesus is incarnated in our work and our words. He writes, these things cannot be relegated to one place for 1 hour. They are the expansive holy ground of hospital rooms and store aisles and makeshift closet computer workspaces and dining room tables and wooded paths. They are the tiny yet mighty acts of goodness that no worship service can create or contain. That's a crucial lesson when we can't meet in our church buildings. And it's a more, even more important lesson, I think, in 3 weeks or 5 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks when we are back in our church buildings. That we are church always, whatever our faith, whenever and wherever we open ourselves to the breath of Ruach, the Spirit, the wind of God. I'm going to bring this back around to sailing. To conclude,
everything in our house comes back around to sailing.
But there's a sailing meme that gets sent around on Facebook that reads, the pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The sailor reefs the mainsail, adjusts the sheets and the backstay, changes the jib, and contemplates which spinnaker to fly on the next downwind leg.
So I would modify that for our situation. We who are meeting as church, dispersed across 70 households, more than that. The pessimist says all the churches are closed. The optimist says the churches will reopen. And we who are people of faith, who are people of God, who know the word of the Lord, we say the church is open. When the building opens, we'll be ready because we've been church all along. We're already being church. And so we'll say it again.
We are still church. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, y'all.
And so now we'll be coming into a time of some pastoral prayer. We had great plans for there to also be music this Sunday, and we'll be working on that again for next Sunday. It takes a little while for these things to come together. But in the absence of that, we'll move to a time of pastoral prayer. And a couple of you have sent things in on the Facebook pages. We'll include those as well. But first, let's join together in this. And one moment here. How do you want to do this? Shall I start and then you can continue?
Why don't you do that?
I'll close this out.
And I'll keep track of anybody who's writing some prayers down right now.
Okay, thanks.
We're learning as we go along.
Let's join our spirits together. Holy God, you know us inside and out, and you are no stranger to the dryness in our spirits and in our lives. You know whether we are stretched too thin or whether we are feeling like we are the only person on the earth. And in whatever situation we find ourselves, remind us that you are right here with us, that you're cooking the many meals, that you're watching the many TV shows and Netflix streams, that you are companioning us, loving us, challenging us to continue to be your people of love in the world. Help us, God, to remember that you are here. Help us to remember our connection with each other, even if we can't see one another. And above all, remind us of the way that Jesus teaches us to always be people of love, day in and day out, through to the very end. A couple of prayer requests from the United Community Church in Morrisville. A request for us to pray for all our older members, what I would say is all our older friends, those for whom these are particularly scary times, or anyone whose health is compromised and makes this virus even more of a threat in these days. And for those of us who are not so compromised, help us know who to reach out to and how best to ask how we can offer help. We also offer up prayers for Ashley and Beverly Madden, as Ashley's health is declining and he is in pain in these days.
Liz lifts up prayers for my friend Tina and her father Bob, who is at Burlington Rehab and has contracted COVID-19. Whatever your will, please hold them in your healing hands and give them strength for this impossible journey. Young Wally would like to pray that the coronavirus go away so he can play with Elliot again, because we have lots of plans. And Alyssa writes, please lift up the Levinson family. Bob was kidnapped in Iran almost 15 years ago, and they recently learned he died in captivity. Loving God, when we feel becalmed and feel anything but calm, we ask your spirit, your wind, your breath, your ruach to blow through your people bringing us life. Help us to sail against the popular current. Help us to bring hope in a time of hopelessness and a prophetic imagination in the time of the powerful being cocky. We bring all these prayers, all these concerns, all these hopes to you in the name of the one who showed us your love in flesh, the same one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you again to all of you who have joined with us. And if you're watching this live stream later, thank you for your presence later as well. Again, please send us any feedback, any requests, any reflections. If you have other prayer requests, please feel free to put them on the Facebook page so that they can be incorporated into our church prayer list this week. Please be aware that when you put prayer requests on a Facebook page, you're essentially announcing them to the world because everybody can see them. So just be cautious about that as you're putting prayer requests out there. And as we go forward into this week, a couple of announcements about the Mooresville Church from me. So on Wednesday at, I think, 7 o'clock, it might be 8 o'clock. I've juggled so many times this week. I'll be doing a live stream with a spiritual meditation and prayers again on the Mooresville Facebook page. On Thursday, the Spiritual Life Committee is going to meet by Zoom. And if you don't know how to do that, don't worry. We'll make sure that you've got it figured out by Thursday evening. And then on Friday in Mooresville, we're going to have a Zoom check-in for anyone in the congregation who wishes to just see each other's faces. Again, I'll send out instructions about that this week, but Friday night at 7 o'clock, we'll have a congregation-wide Zoom meeting, kind of a virtual coffee hour, if you will. So those are the activities that are happening in Mooresville between now and next Sunday. And then next Sunday, we'll be right back here again.
We'll be doing many of those same things with the Essex Center United Methodist Church. I'm setting up Zoom classes for our small groups, for Companions in Christ, and for our Wednesday Bible study, and also a Zoom coffee hour later in the week, just because we all haven't seen each other's face in quite a while, and it's time to gather, even if it's looking like the Brady Bunch on a screen.
So with all of that ahead of you, do you have any other announcements that you need to do this morning?
I do not believe so.
Okay.
So birthdays.
It's up to you.
I want to say happy birthday today to Donna, and birthdays later this week for Alan and Catherine as well. So happy birthday, y'all.
And for all of us, for all of you, for both of us, wherever you are, as you go into this week, may you know that you don't go alone, even if you feel alone. May you know that the word of the Lord, that God loves you, that God's made you, that God has a purpose for you, and God goes with you, and God, above all else, loves you. May that word of the Lord accompany you through all this next week, until we're gathered together again, either virtually or in person. And as always, we send you out in the name of God, who we know as Creator and Christ and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace, friends.
Have a good week, y'all.
Peace.